In a recent sermon, I expressed that we would be looking a little more closely at a phrase that was found within one of the verses of the lesson, one of the lessons that we've been looking at about peace. You may recall that we looked at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 13 and reminded ourselves that we are to be at peace among ourselves. And I said that I would look at a later sermon at the phrase we find at the first part of that verse. That's what I want to do this morning, to consider the idea that the Apostle Paul expresses there, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Now, in expressing this, as I announce this, I realize that there may be some here that, and let me say this before I go any further. When I'm talking about esteeming elders highly, I'm talking about the elders of this congregation. And I realize that as I make that statement, as I'm talking about Brother Eugene, Brother Jeff, Brother Ronnie, Brother DeWan, Brother Tracy, that as I talk about that, I realize there may be some that don't know me very well and may have the idea that this is just a preacher trying to get in good with the elders. That is not the case. Anything couldn't be further from the truth. But I'm willing to take that risk to say some things that I think we all need to be reminded of. Now, I also want to make mention that I was not asked to teach on this. None of the elders, no one else in the congregation has asked me to talk about this Bible subject. Now, there would be nothing wrong if the elders said, hey, how about a lesson on this that's found by the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica? If someone else had come to me and asked me hey, can you preach a lesson on this topic? There'd been nothing wrong with that. And I dare say that as I have now called out the names of the elders of this congregation from the pulpit, that there are probably one or two or more of them that are thinking, you know, Jeff, there's a whole lot of other topics that you could be covering that would be, you know, better suited kind of thing. But I think it's good for us to think about the kind of attitude that we need to have toward the elders of the local congregation. We'd just gone through in recent lesson and looked at the organization of the church and considered how that Jesus is the head over the church universal. But as a local congregation, those that are in authority are those that are elders. Let's go and look at this part of the Bible. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, be at peace among yourselves. Now, the way that we know that this text is talking about the elders is that the elders are the only ones who are over Christians, except for the apostles and Jesus. And he's certainly not talking about the apostles. He says, among you. He's not talking about Jesus. This text is telling us that as members of a local congregation, how we should regard the elders of that congregation. Now, when the scripture says recognize those, it is apparently using that word recognize in the sense of respect. Some translation would use the word honor in that passage. Thayer says the meaning is to have regard for one, to cherish, to pay attention to. Other commentators and such would say it is used in a unique sense of respect, to appreciate. And so when we have this to recognize those, it's to give them honor, respect them, acknowledge them, appreciate them. One individual says that the word here means to know. That is, to see in their true character, to recognize the worth of, to appreciate, to value. Now, the words esteem them very highly simply mean to regard them with highness, with very, very highly. God is telling us to respect, to appreciate the elders, and to hold them in the highest regard. The American Standard would render this, know them, esteem them exceeding highly. The New American Standard Bible says, appreciate, esteem them very highly. The New International Version says, respect, hold them in the highest regard. And the New Revised Standard says, respect, esteem them very highly. And so when I say that we should appreciate the elders, I'm not just giving an opinion of mine. This is a truth found within God's Word. This is something that God is clearly telling us to do. As we think about this concept, to esteem them very highly, esteeming the elders highly, one of the reasons that is stated there of why that should take place is because of the work that they do. Now, we're reminded of the work of elders in places like 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. This is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. And so the work that we are esteeming them for is a good work. He goes on in verse 5, and if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? That's the work that the elders are involved in. They take care of the church. In Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 31, we're reminded of the good work that the elders do. As the Apostle Paul writes to the elders in the church in Ephesus, in verse 28, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. What is the work that they are to be doing? They are to take heed. They are to take heed to the flock. They are to be overseers. They are to shepherd. They are to feed the flock. Verse 31, watch. As a result of the things that he mentioned in verse 29 and 30, from those outside as well as those inside, the elders have the work of being watchful. Perhaps the most thought-provoking Bible statement about the good works that the elders do is found in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. As those who must give an account, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. For they watch out for your souls. Now, we're thinking about the work that is being done by the elders of a local congregation. These elders here, the Hebrew writer says, they watch out for your souls. Can you imagine having a doctor whose sole responsibility is your health and your health alone? That's all he's doing. He only cares about your welfare. And he's going to spend his time ensuring that you are healthy and that you are happy. The point that we're trying to get across is that in our elders, we have five men who really do freely spend much of their time trying to ensure that you are spiritually healthy and that you go to heaven. So as you think about Brother Purcell, you think about Brother Peak, you think about Brother Brackeen, Brother Greg, Brother Miller. You need to remember to esteem them highly for their work's sake, the work that they are doing. Another reason that our elders are to be highly esteemed is because of the kind of lives that they have lived. The lives that they have lived. Now, I am not so naive as to consider and think that these men have lived sinless, perfect life. I know that's not the case. When we think about individuals found within the scriptures, how they describe themselves. The Apostle John, for instance. Think about how the Apostle John describes himself in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The Apostle John includes himself in that passage. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. The Apostle Peter is a man who is an imperfect man, but he became an elder. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1, the elders who are among you, I exhort, I who also am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. This is the man that in Matthew chapter 26 denied with an oath, I do not know the man. This man who is now claiming, saying that he is an elder, and certainly he was, is the man who was withstood to the face by the Apostle Paul because he was to be blamed. So the elders are not men who have never sinned. But the elders are men who have proven a high character, who have proven through their conduct. And I'm reminding you that these men, through many years, have proven themselves again and again and again. That's relatively easy to find individual men with knowledge, find men that have abilities to teach, find have men who have a charisma and such, but it's not easy to find men who meet all the qualifications, the characteristics that the Apostle Paul defines. And the proof of that is that there are hundreds upon hundreds of churches throughout this country and abroad who don't even have two men that they can look up to like you can look up to the men who serve as elders in this congregation. The reason we need to esteem the elders highly is because of the life that they have lived. Another reason that we should esteem our elders is because of the price that they paid. The price the elders often have to pay to do this good work. One price that most people have hardly any appreciation of is the amount of time that they take away from their families in order to watch after us. Now, I've worked with a fair amount of congregations. Several of those have had elderships. But even not only considering my own preaching career, but considering other congregations that I'm aware of that I have been in contact with, it is difficult, just in my own recollection, it's difficult for me to think about eldership and other congregations in comparison to these individuals and the amount of time that they spend attending to the needs of this congregation. Again, I'm not saying these things about these five brethren to ingratiate myself with them, but I'm saying these things because I believe they're true. I believe that these are things that you ought to know. If you're not aware of the time, the price that they paid, you need to know that, and you ought to appreciate them for that fact. And let me just stop for just a moment to acknowledge the appreciation that we ought to give to their wives who are willing for them to make that sacrifice for your sake. Now, a second price that most people scarcely appreciate is the continued emotional pressure that comes with responsibility of overseeing a local congregation. I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 28. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Let me give you a few other translations of that same verse. The ESV says, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. The New Revised, and besides other things, I am under daily pressure because of my anxiety for all the churches. Charles Williams translated it as, apart from everything else, there is my anxiety for all the churches, the things that presses upon me every day. Now, I realize that the Apostle Paul is talking about his apostolic responsibility for the many congregations that he knew of and was a part in establishing. The text is reminding us of a continual emotional pressure, an emotional strain that all sincere elders feel because of their concern for the congregation that they're overseeing. And I'm reminding you of those things to remind you that's a price that they are willing to pay. And it's a price. That price that they are paying is a reason why we should esteem them highly. A third price that people seldom appreciate is the possibility of increased criticism. I don't think it's hard for us to think about this. It's not difficult to see that anyone who steps into a role of authority, whether it be the local sheriff, the mayor of a town, the president of the PTO, there's criticism that comes along with that. And oftentimes, there's even an occasional resentment that comes with the leadership and the responsibility. Again, as I think back through places that I've worked and elderships that I've been aware of, it's not hard for me to understand that when someone is in a position of leadership, has a responsibility, that there will be those that will criticize them. Now, as far as things here, I don't remember a time when the elders of this congregation have complained to me about this that oftentimes can take place. But again, I've been close enough to elderships in enough congregations to know that one price that the elders pay is they have to be prepared to pay the price of constant scrutiny. Occasionally, unfair criticism, immature envy, and sometimes just outright mistreatment. This is the price that these men are willing to pay to care for the local congregation. And let me add that sometimes the elders, wives, and their families also have to live under double standards and hyper-criticism. And they too must be appreciated for their willingness to endure such. The elders have to pay the price for the privilege of helping us to go to heaven, and that price is countless hours of thankless work. That is, continually having the concern for the souls of each member and the dangers that are outside and inside the church. The envy, and sometimes being the object of unfair criticism. And again, the point of all this is for us to appreciate, to esteem the elders highly for them being willing to pay that price to do us good. Let me also suggest that we should esteem the elders highly because of the personal accountability they have accepted for our sakes. And some think about elders, they only think of the prominence that elders have in a congregation. And they forget that with that prominence, with that responsibility, comes a certain danger, a jeopardy, if you will. The fact that danger comes with prominence is one reason that God doesn't allow that new Christians should be appointed elders. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6, one of the characteristics is not a novice, not a new child of God. He says, lest they be lifted up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Another danger that elders risk for us is the inherent danger of something that all teachers face. James chapter 3 and verse 1 puts it this way. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. The King James renders it a greater condemnation. See, we're reminding ourselves of the accountability that they willingly accepted. Hebrews chapter 13 again. Gives us a very clear statement of the jeopardy that we ask these men to risk in order to be our elders. We want them to become responsible for the whole congregation. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Just think about that for a second. Now, we're familiar with the passage of Scripture that on the day of judgment, we're all going to stand before God and give an account of the things that we have done, whether good or bad. I'm not trying to suggest that I understand completely all that's involved in this. But the Hebrew writer says, as those who must give account. Do we realize that the men that have accepted the role of elders in this congregation, the accountability that they accepted, that they're willing to stand before God in judgment and give an account not only of what they've done, but what they've done for others? Watching out for our souls. I'm not saying that we lose our personal responsibility as individuals. We'll all stand before God. But friends, I'm reminding you that the men that we ask to be elders are being asked to accept the responsibility that they would never otherwise have had. They watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Esteeming elders highly for the work that they do, for the lives that they have lived and continue to live, for the price that they're willing to pay, and for the accountability that they have accepted. Serving any congregation of God's people as an elder is indeed serious and sobering responsibility. And it's not without some personal risk to the man who accepts that responsibility, who willingly desires, is what the Apostle Paul describes it in 1 Timothy 3. A man desires, this is somebody that agrees to bear that responsibility. We ought to esteem our elders highly because they have been willing to risk those dangers for our sakes. And as a result, it's not surprising that the scriptures teach us to appreciate them, to respect them, and to esteem them highly for the work they do. Again, I haven't said any of this to glorify our elders. And again, I can imagine, because I think this is something that we all, I hope all of us can kind of acknowledge a little bit. When a spotlight is being shown on us, if we have the right kind of godly attitude, we often want that to be deflected on somebody else. Stop talking about me. Not hard for me to figure out that there's some things running through these individuals' minds. Okay, Jeff, let's move on to something else kind of thing. But this is an important topic. This is something that we all need to be reminded of. And any man who really has the attitude that elders ought to have, they're probably going to be uncomfortable being the object of a commendation like this. But again, I'm not saying these things to flatter our elders. I'm saying these things to remind us as members of this congregation of how we ought to appreciate the elders of this congregation and to make their work as easy as you possibly can make it, because they're working for your salvation, your family's salvation. They're working for the salvation of everyone in this congregation. It's a plain and simple statement. Esteem them highly for their work's sake. I hope that you have been reminded about some of the work, some of the dangers, some of the pressures that are involved in being an elder in a local congregation. My plan over the next several weeks, I know this coming Sunday we'll have our gospel meeting with Brother Lowell Salee, a little pause from me. But over the next couple of lessons, I want to dig a little deeper into some of the aspects about the organization of a local congregation. Plan for tonight, I mentioned at the beginning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 13, be at peace among yourselves. We've been going through and looking at peace among the brethren, peace among ourselves, peace within ourselves. The plan, Lord willing, is to look again at another topic of peace this evening for our lesson. I don't want to conclude without extending the invitation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The song that Will has selected, Softly and Tenderly, is a song that is to encourage us to do what we know God wants us to do. God's calling. Jesus is calling. The great invitation that Jesus makes is, come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden. I will give you rest. The scriptures go on to indicate to us exactly what that rest entails. It's an acknowledgement that we are at odds with God. We are sinful creatures, and we acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He died for our sins. And when we are willing to repent of our sins, to confess our faith in Jesus Christ, we can be baptized. We can put to death that old man, raised to walk in newness of life, and begin having a peace with Almighty God, having our sins cleansed, standing clean and pure and justified before God. Jesus wants that for you. He is calling for you. And there may be those in our audience this morning that realize, I've not done the things that God have been asking of me as His child. Maybe you're like Simon. Your heart's not right with God. You need to heed the instructions of Peter. Repent and pray to God. The Apostle John tells us that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins if we'll confess our faults and asks for forgiveness. And here's an appropriate time. Here is an excellent time for you to let your desire be made known that you want to be right with God. Whether you need to be baptized to have your sins washed away or you need to make public confession of sin in your life, here is the time and the opportunity. And we bid you come as together we stand and sing.